Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
All righty. Hello, baby, everybody. Welcome to it. It's the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 6th of October, 2021. Happy, what the hell is it? It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Hump Day is upon us. Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, telling a friend, all that good stuff. Good times are guaranteed for all. And thanks to everybody for the birthday wishes for Bailey. Yes, Bailey's birthday. So thanks for that. Little Bailey, she's three years old. Good Lord, time flies. You can always email me, DerekAllenHunter@gmail.com. If you want to whine and complain, somebody's whining and complaining. You shouldn't have your kids on your show. You don't have to listen, dude. Nobody's asking you for anything. Go away. Anyway, there's a lot of ground to get to. First, let me tell you, remind you about the contest. It's right here. The signed copy of Trump's Enemies, How the Deep State is Undermining the Presidency, signed both by Corey Lewandowski and David Bossy. Best is a big bestseller, I believe. They've written big bestsellers together anyway. And you get it signed by both. It's a twofer this week. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast and be a member. $5 a month. You get the Curse Program, the Weekend Effin' Review every Saturday. And you get exclusive entry by signing. You just have to comment on the post for the drawing this week. And we will pick one at random. You know, somebody asked, a couple people have asked, actually, whether or not, like, the creativity of the comment matters, whether or not that helps. Is it whoever makes me laugh, whoever has the best comment? No, it's drawn out of a hat. But I do appreciate the hell out of the creativity of some of the comments on there. I like it. I like it. So, you know, feel free to keep doing that. And maybe I'll read some of them on the air. But I can't give a signed book to everybody who makes me laugh and, you know, sitting there going, this one made me laugh more. That's not cool. It's just a random drawing, usually done by the kids, to see who gets the signed book. So you go to patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast, learn how to enter and all of that good stuff. Also, let me tell you about Ancient Life Oil. I've got my CBD oil right here. I've actually got two of them. One that is cinnamon and the other that is natural flavor. I prefer the cinnamon, but the natural flavor works just as well. You go to ancientlifeoil.com. You check out all the CBD products that they have. The ointment works really well on the knuckle in my hand that gives me problems. And you check it out. They've got different strengths, different amounts of potency. You throw it all in your basket. They have great sales all the time, too. And then you enter promo code Derek at checkout, D-E-R-E-K. Click a buy. You get free, fast shipping on top of everything else. It's win, 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 win. All the winning. You're never going to get tired of the winning at AncientLifeOil.com. Go there. Check it out. Do yourself a favor. Have a great time. And don't forget to promo code Derek and click apply to get that free, fast shipping. Okay. Got lots of things to talk about. Let's get on with the program. So what is dominating the news cycle? Well, yesterday, it's amazing to me how real important things can be wiped straight off the pages of the news, right straight off the television set. It just suddenly Facebook goes down and Instagram goes down. And everything is about that. Only 6 hours without Facebook. What are we going to do? What's going to happen here? You realize how big of a narcissistic country we've become when the top story of the day is that you can't post pictures of what you had for lunch or dinner is. You know, like, oh, my God. Well, I went to a really nice lunch and the world doesn't know what I had. I can't put it on Facebook. I can't put it on Instagram. My life is over. And you're sitting there going, what the hell is wrong with you? We lived before all of this stuff. All right, it's coming back. It's going to come. It's a temporary outage. Every website, it doesn't matter what the reason is. Every website has a denial of service attack, or the servers crash, or there's a virus, or whatever it is. Every website goes through that. And we somehow, humanity survives. Or they just go through routine maintenance where it's down. But watching the media yesterday, oh my goodness, Facebook is down. Facebook has been down all day. And Instagram is down. And there are a bunch of other ones that I don't even know what they are. I don't use Instagram. I don't use Instagram because I take my pictures for my sake. You know, I don't go, well, the world needs to see what my daughter has smeared all. Occasionally I will put things up on Facebook or whatever, just because, like one time my daughter Quinn smeared ranch dressing in her hair. I'm sitting next to her. She's in her high chair and she's having whatever it was, chicken nuggets and a little bit of ranch. And I look over and she looks like Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley, Lenny and Squiggy, with all the grease in his hair, except it was ranch dressing. I was like, what in what? Oh, no. But of course, that had to be documented and shared. But what I had, I don't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday. I think I had red beans and chicken. And the world doesn't need to know that. The world doesn't need to see that. You just take my word for it, and there you go. Or just go, I bet he ate because he's not complaining about being hungry or on the verge of starvation. But we've become such a nation of narcissists that Facebook goes down and all presses are stopped. And oh my goodness, the nightly newscasts talk about what is going on. And Mark Zuckerberg lost $6 billion in net worth. That was the part of the big story yesterday. What? He lost $6 billion in net worth. And I guarantee you that by the end of the week, he'll have gotten most, if not all, of that back. By the way, he's worth about $120 billion. So losing $6 billion, probably not fun. But it's not cash. It's not like dudes show up at his house and, excuse me, Mr. Zuckerberg, we're here to collect the $6 billion you lost. It's in the value of Facebook stock. Facebook crashes, and frankly, a whole bunch of people panic sell. All that does, unless they're profit-taking. But all that really does is present what I would view or think would be a pretty good buying opportunity if and you wanted to get Facebook on a dip. I don't know what Facebook stock is. I don't care what Facebook stock is at. But if the owner of the company or the biggest shareholder of the company loses $6 billion in net worth for technical reasons, they weren't even hacked. It's not like this could happen again. They were updating a server, apparently, and something went wrong. So, you know, if the person who owns the most could take a $6 billion hit, then it seems like, for something pretty superficial, it seems like it'd be temporary. I don't know. I'm not advising you to buy or sell stock at all, and it's probably too late already. But the stories that came out of this are absolutely ridiculous. And, of course, the conspiracy theorists come in and weave it all together. Oh, I was listening to some conspiracy theorists yesterday on the radio. They're like, oh, man, the whistleblower comes out. And then Facebook goes down. You think that's a coincidence? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Because coincidences happen all the time. You know, they just do. Oh, you know, that whistleblower is just to get conservatives Look, if you don't realize right now as a conservative that Facebook isn't your friend, a 60 Minutes report and somebody framing it differently isn't going to change your mind, okay? Facebook isn't your friend. None of these places are your friends. And the argument that we must have regulation because they're spreading hate. The left has been talking about that garbage for years and years and years. Or now they're spreading not only hate, not only right-wing hate. Of course, Antifa, BLM, Antifa, they can spew their garbage unencumbered. But they're also damaging girls. They never care about damaging boys. They never care about damaging boys. They're happy to damage boys. But they're damaging girls. They're causing eating disorders. And you look at the allegations that they're causing eating disorders. And quite frankly, they might be. I don't know. But the allegation's pretty slim at best. No pun intended. It's that attractive skinny women post pictures of themselves on Instagram. And this causes girls to be wildly insecure. Well, first of all, boys are wildly insecure too. But you don't hear about that, again, because our society is seemingly designed to not give a damn about boys in any way, shape, or form. Certainly none that matters. But secondly, there's a pretty easy solution for this. And it involves a controversial statement to parents and adults out there. And it's, be better, right? Remember Melania Trump, all the hell she caught for saying, be best. She should have. It was kind of a dumb name. But the concept behind it was good. It should have been be better or be your best or something like that. But she went with be best, whatever the marketing wizards did. Still, that would be the way to go. If you are a parent and you're concerned about your teen, what they're going to be influenced by on social media, then maybe you shouldn't let them on social media. Does that mean, oh my goodness, they might be ridiculed a little bit by their friends for not having a Facebook account? Yeah, maybe. But if the alternative is so damaging to them, so what? Or you might have to monitor what they do online. Not fun, maybe, takes up 5 minutes of your day, whatever it is you have, as the parent can demand all the passwords as a condition of doing this, and then you have to actually do your parenting job. But to sit there and go, well, we must destroy this company because some girls get eating disorders. Well, you know, some girls got eating disorders before Facebook. Some girls did get eating disorders before Karen Carpenter. I don't remember what year Karen Carpenter died, but I believe it was before the internet. She died from anorexia. So not to belittle any of that, but let's just put things in perspective and recognize that there are simple solutions that don't involve the government coming riding in going, we shall regulate our way to whatever it is they think they're going to regulate their way to, because they never do. They never successfully regulate their way to anything. And then maybe when Facebook goes down or next time Twitter goes down or whatever, YouTube or whatever, we can just go, oh, all right, I guess I'm going to have a conversation with another human being in person or over the phone or whatever, rather than sit there. Maybe I'll call somebody and tell them what I had for lunch. I mean, I can describe the sandwich that I had or the pasta or the whatever the hell it is people eat for lunch. It's a novel idea. I get it. But I assure you that civilization survived, and some would say thrived, before the internet. And now we've got, oh my goodness, it's so full of hate and rage and blah, 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 blah. Have you noticed that the left is never complaining and doesn't seem to give a damn about all of the racist hate that is on social media? They manufacture racist hate. They claim stuff is racist. But the actual racism of segregation that Democrats are pushing on college campuses, in businesses, in organizations, whatever it is. The resegregation of America. Democrats are trying to turn the clock back to the 1940s, going, well, we need to have separate dormitories for black people. Used to be we need to have separate dormitories for black people because black people are different and gross and icky and yucky and we can't have them in the dorms with the white people. And now it's we need to have separate dorms for black people because white people are icky and yucky and they create an unsafe space and we got to have... It's the same argument. It's the same result. Well, the argument is shifted in direction, but it is the same argument. Democrats have never never shifted goals, objectives. They've changed tactics. That's it. Period. End of story. And social media has enabled them to do that. Social media has empowered them to do that. You talk about hate speech and, oh my goodness, these right-wing groups are recruiting through social media. What do you think left-wing groups are doing? Of course, they are never considered hate groups. They don't consider them hate by the people in power. They fund them. I mean, hell, how much money has Mark Zuckerberg given to BLM Antifa? I don't know, but I guarantee you it's a lot. And they're running around going, no, this is horrible. We must come. Racism is awful. Here you go, racist group. Nobody ever calls it out because it would be inconvenient. They're politically useful to the left. Questioning your government is problematic. Questioning your government is unpatriotic, is dangerous, is extremist. Questioning your school board is extremist. In a second, I'll tell you about that. And you can thank God. You can go to bed tonight thanking God that Mitch McConnell is was the majority leader in the United States Senate in 2016. Because Merrick Garland has decided that anybody who is opposed to liberal indoctrination of racism is a problem, is a potential terrorist. He's siding with the school board people. The school board leftists, amazing. Leftists always side with leftists. But you watch this country scramble like something went horribly wrong because a website went down for a while, for a long while in the grand scheme of things. I suppose if you're just sitting on your butt all day staring at a screen, you go, oh my God, Facebook is gone. So what? You're live today. No one was damaged. There'll still be some jackass out there will go, we need a class action lawsuit. People were denied their ability to see cat memes for 6 hours, and the psychological damage from that has to be, somebody has to pay. But are we really getting to that point as a society, as a culture? Are we that pathetic as creatures nowadays? God help us if we are. God help us if we are. And I think we are. So please, God help us get back to where we were. But I'm looking at social media and I see there's another thing. Oh, here's a video of what Mark Zuckerberg testified to a while ago. And here's what the whistleblower said. Now, she's not a whistleblower. She's a former employee. She's probably disgruntled. Frances Haugen or whatever. Seems like a lefty because everything she whined about on there was like, oh, these right-wingers. Oh, these horrible right-wingers on there. They're organizing this, that, and the other. There's no concern about BLM Antifa where there's actual violence. But she's got really, her eyes are far too close together and far too sunken. Anyway, she's out there, and what she's saying is taken as gospel. This is horrible. Facebook knows it's damaging people. They don't care. They don't care. More, more, more. I would require some kind of proof. Beyond her words, if I were her. And I would require some kind of statement, some kind of investigation. It used to be called journalism. They used to do those sorts of things. But it doesn't happen anymore. The media wants Facebook to be the bad guys. They want Facebook to be under attack because they want Facebook to fully acquiesce to what they want Facebook to be. So these discussions, these attacks, these smears, whatever, will continue. But if you don't, until and unless Facebook, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Once Facebook acquiesces, meh, all will be forgiven. But it's bizarre to watch this sort of thing. When realistically, any thinking person watching this, you know, Facebook's terrible, Instagram's awful, all these social media things are horrible, 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 and you sit there and you go, all right, well, there's a pretty easy solution to this, especially these conservatives. I was listening and they're just whining, Facebook's terrible, Facebook's trying to do it, I have a big footprint on social media, but I blah, 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 blah. Like, then quit. Quit Facebook. If you're such a principled person, quit Facebook. I use Facebook for one thing and one thing only. To post comments or my columns or shows or whatever. That's it. That's all I do. I don't go out there and go, oh, I must, I honestly, I'm a horrible Facebook friend. When it's like somebody's birthday, I missed one of my really good friend Todd's birthday about 3 weeks ago because I don't go to Facebook and go, whose birthday is it? I used to, but I just don't. Not because I think Facebook is evil, but because I got better things to do than be on Facebook and go, whose birthday is it? So I miss people's birthday on it. That's really the only thing I found useful in Facebook. Otherwise, it is a broadcasting point. Hey, here's today's column. Hey, here's this. Hey, here's that. I'm not out there. I don't even really use it for show prep anymore. But if you're sitting there, you're going, oh, Facebook is horrible and evil and you must be stopped and don't give money to these companies. And then you're saying we have a huge presence on Facebook and we do this, that, and the other thing. Well, why? You're feeding the beast. Are you principled conservative or are you just, an opportunist? Are you bragging about it? Okay, congratulations. You quit Twitter for the others. Well, wait, now you're back on Twitter. I thought it was a very principled stand and Twitter could, you told them what for, and now you're back on Twitter. Everybody is guilty of this hypocrisy to one degree or another, and everybody loves griping and grousing about other thing. Oh, Facebook is horrible. That's my latest Facebook status update. Twitter is terrible. And I tweeted that just now. Like, okay, well, nobody, at a certain point, it becomes performance art. And then you really have to wonder, do these people actually believe in anything at all? CBS News 60 Minutes does a big expose on how awful Facebook is for the country. And you can watch the video on our Facebook page. Does anybody see the disconnect? If you really care, if you really believe in any of these things, you don't have to be some conservative, hypocritical host. You could be a left-wing, hypocritical news program. Put your money where your mouth is for once in your miserable lives. Huh? Make something about bigger than you, or shut up about it. Facebook is a useful tool. It becomes damaging when you allow it to become more than that. It's a good way to keep up with people you went to high school with, old friends you've lost touch with that you don't really have time for conversations with, but you go, oh, a quick comment here and there, and that's it. If you live your life on it or you base your business on it, then the problem isn't Facebook, it's you. I'm looking at social media and I see from the New York Post, Meghan Trainor and husband Daryl Sabara have toilets next to each other. No, I will keep that distance. I will remain distant all the way through. No, thank you. And it's not because I'm shy. It's because I respect my wife far too much. Not gonna put her through that. Anyway, speaking of respect and boundaries, we have a situation brewing in this country where things are going down the toilet, speaking of toilets, very, very quickly. And it always happens when it's Democrats. Have you noticed that? The Republicans show up and protest anywhere, and they're like, oh my goodness, it's a threat to the Republic. We must look into these people. We've really got to find a way to contain these people. The FBI, they show up, we've got a protest, a right-wing protest, and you look and you're like, 90% of those people are FBI agents, sort of undercover. Who are you trying to fool? What are you talking about? Give me a break. But leftists show up at people's houses, at members of Congress houses, banging on doors, vandalizing their homes, all of which has happened, all of which was done by left-wing lunatics, and it barely rates a story. It's just not even noticed. It's not mentioned. The website Jezebel is a terrible, terrible website, run and populated by awful people who deserve bad things to happen to them. Just a few years ago, they had a big piece, because it's a feminist website, you say. They care about women. Just, only some women. They have a piece up there, it's old, but it's the headline, Bullied Girls Are Growing Up to Have Serious Health Problems as Adults, they say. It's horrible, horrible situation. Those poor bullied girls, they must be protected. We need legislation, we need I don't know, maybe a SWAT team to come in and smack around anybody who's bullying girls. And then you get this piece from yesterday. Absolutely bullied Kyrsten Sinema outside of her bathroom stall. It's not, you know, it absolutely happened. It's absolutely do it. It's please do it. That is what the left has done. That is simply in 9 years. Those are the difference between those two posts. Bully girls have serious health problems. Bullying is wrong. Bullying is awful. To, you damn right you better bully them. Punch them if you have to. You must do whatever is necessary to bash these people, to get them to bend to your will. Realistically, you get one chance to have your say. And for senators, it's once every 6 years. For the House of Representatives, it's once every 2 years. When you sit there and you see all of these people going, call your senator, call your representative, 99 times out of 100, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. It really doesn't make a damn bit of difference. And it never will make a damn bit of difference. And you just have to recognize that. Your chance to make a difference is when it comes to the ballot box. They are there. People are elected to represent you, to be your fill-in, to be your stand-in on all the issues in Washington, D.C. They don't have to care what you think after you've elected them. You've elected them. They represent everybody. And as somebody who was elected, they view themselves, whatever they do, as reflecting the will of the people. Is it true? Is it accurate? No. Obviously, there are times when what the public wants diverges from what the public gets. But in general, they're pretty much right on. And that's the point of a representative. If it were a democracy, we'd be a horribly messy democracy. And there would be a lot of violence. And there would be massive, massive swings in legislation. We can't be a democracy. It's so brilliant of our founding fathers to have not created a democracy. Could you imagine? One regime comes in like, okay, now you get, here's a massive social welfare program. Everybody gets money. We're going to go spend ourselves broke, but who cares? It's all good. Here you go. And you know, you can't say these words. You can't talk about these sorts of things. You have to make sure that if you use improper pronouns, you flagellate yourself in the town square. And if you don't, you'll be facing jail time. And then another regime comes in and says, nope, you're on your own. You get nothing. And you can say whatever you want and do whatever you want. Now, personally, I'd prefer the latter, but that's beside the point. It would be this endless flow of extremes. Why? Because you can convince people of just about anything. You can get public support behind you. You look at, I mean, for God's sakes, look at Joe Biden. The idiot not only won, he got Democrats to vote for him in the primary. There were people who are not currently suffering from dementia who are running for president of the United States on the Democratic side. And the Democrats said, no, we got to go with the guy who should be institutionalized, who needs round-the-clock care. We should go with that guy. He's the best we've got. People can be manipulated into all sorts of things, and it can be radical from one side to the other, back and forth again. It'll make you dizzy. It'll make you sick. So being a representative republic with limited, a constitutionally limited representative republic, was brilliant. You want to screw up your state or your town? Go to town. Knock yourself out. Congratulations. But you don't get to screw up the country. You want to screw up Massachusetts? Screw up Massachusetts. Please do. Leave everywhere else alone. If you stumble on something good, I guarantee you, some of the other states are going to be going, oh, well, they implemented this crazy thing, but it, damn it, it worked. And it's working great. So we're going to go with that. Instead, the federal government and Democrats are, everybody's got to do this. Why? Well, because if Massachusetts does something and then it all goes to hell and doesn't work, people will flee Massachusetts. And they'll go to other states where whatever ridiculous mandate the left imposes over there will not be. And essentially, the Democratic Party wants a policy and is advancing a policy that says you can't escape anywhere. Don't go. Don't even try. Yeah, if you screw up Massachusetts, you can move to Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, wherever you want. Nobody should move to Maine, but you could move to Maine if you wanted to. But if it's everywhere, then why would you leave Massachusetts? If the garbage policy is in Maine and it's everywhere you could move, well, you might as well stay in Maine. it absolves liberals of the poor consequences of their decisions, of their actions. It insulates them while actively pushing towards the destruction of the United States so that they can replace it. Look at how hard they went at Florida. Look at how hard they went at Florida over COVID. Ron DeSantis is killing people. He's a horrible monster. Why doesn't he impose mask mandates? Why doesn't he lock things down? Children need to be laminated when they leave their houses. They need to wear scuba tanks all the time. This is ridiculous and awful and terrible. And what a horrible, horrible monster and Nazi. And now what? The numbers in Florida are crashing. Now, Ron DeSantis didn't change. Ron DeSantis didn't go, all right, well, now that you guys are really giving me a hard time, I will institute a mask mandate. I will make sure that children are laminated when they leave the house. Nope, didn't do that. Nothing, in fact, changed except the numbers. The numbers went down. The ebbs and flows. Now it's going up in places where they have mask mandates and lockdowns. It's very weird. Nobody knows what the hell COVID is or how it's trans. It's amazing how little we know after a year. But suddenly Florida isn't being talked about anymore. Moreover, Massachusetts isn't really being talked about anymore. It's run by a Republican governor, but he's a squishy liberal Republican. Oregon isn't being talked about at all, run by Democrats, seeing a massive increase in COVID cases. Most of the states where COVID is increasing right now, Michigan, not getting reported on. Why is that? Well, because they're not only are they run by Democrats, they're not run by Ron DeSantis. If it's a Republican that's just a Republican, it's hardly worth attacking. But if it's a Republican who's likely to be running for president of the United States in 2024 and has a good chance of winning the Republican nomination, then suddenly he must be destroyed. These people are sick. These people are disturbed. These people are demented. And these people have amazing amounts of power in this country and amazing amounts of influence. So, yeah, bully girls are going to grow up to have serious health problems as adults, but bully the hell out of Kyrsten Sinema. So yesterday, Kyrsten Sinema is flying back from Arizona to Washington, D.C. She has an illegal alien on her plane. You sit there and you go, how the hell? You can't get a bottle of booze without, you know, an ID and maybe a couple of pieces of ID. But somehow illegal aliens move freely about the country, thanks to Democrats going, hey, man, we need these people to have IDs. By the way, this ID, this state ID, these driver's license things for illegal aliens, you know how that started? Out in California, there were a lot of accidents involving really awful illegal alien drivers. And illegal aliens didn't have car insurance. So the people that they hit, the cars that they wrecked, they were getting screwed over pretty good, pretty bad, pretty, you know, left and right. And so the argument was, we need to get them driver's licenses because then they'll be likely to get insurance. That's a stupid argument. If you're wildly irresponsible, what does having a photo ID do for you? You're wildly irresponsible. You're not about to change because you're like, well, I was irresponsible. I could have probably found some insurance or certainly some way to get insurance before now. But screw it. I don't need it. I've been doing just fine. And they didn't really find that a whole bunch of people bothered to get the car insurance that they were told, if we just give driver's licenses to illegal aliens, then if you make them allowed to drive, then you can get them to get car insurance. It didn't happen, but it did allow them to fly on planes and travel about the country. And this illegal alien on the plane yesterday with Kyrsten Sinema decides, now it's all coach, so it's not like she snuck up to first class, but Kyrsten Sinema was sitting in the front of the plane or near the front of the plane, and this illegal alien was sitting near the back, and she comes marching up, and of course she's filming all of it on her phone, because what's the point of anything again if you don't show it to the world? And she confronts Kyrsten Sinema, this illegal alien, on the plane. It's a little bit tough to hear, but you can hear the words. It's just you're on a plane, so you've got that thing. Personally, I would have been in favor of opening the door at that point, just briefly, and see what happened. But anyway, here is how that transpired.
Senator, hello. How are you? Sorry, I'm Katina. I don't know if you remember me. I just want to know if you can commit, as my senator, if you can commit to passing a reconciliation that could provide a pathway to citizenship for immigrants. We have been waiting for this for too long. I just need to know if you can commit to passing a budget reconciliation that would include immigration and citizenship for people to be protected, like me and many others.
Will you commit to passing a budget reconciliation? No. No, I won't. Now go back to your seat. Now, Kyrsten Sinema doesn't say anything. She's sitting there. She's got her earbuds in, so she's probably not hearing most of this over the engines and the earbuds, whatever she was listening to. But this is the tactic. These are the tactics, in addition to, you know, barging in on her in the bathroom. These are the tactics that are being cheered by the left, that are being advocated by the left and celebrated by the left. It's rather disturbing and disgusting. Now, this illegal alien continues. Nobody came up. Where's the Delta flight attendant who comes up and says, look, lady, you got to go back to your seat. Stop harassing people. She doesn't seem to come up. Doesn't seem to exist. The exchange continues.
I'm being vulnerable right now to you. My dad passed away. My dad passed away last year, and he didn't get to reunite with my family. I don't want to disturb you, but at the same time, I just want to see if I can get a commitment from you, Senator. This is my life and the life of millions in the line. I just need to hear from you. Can we get a commitment from you to get a pathway to citizenship through the bond of reconciliation to protect me and millions like me? Can I get a commitment from you? Alright, Senator. I see that you don't want to respond to me. Thanks for your time.
Alright, Senator. You don't want to respond to me. Thanks for your time. He didn't give you time. You stole the time. These people are hell alone. They have office hours. They have voicemails. They have the right to go to the bathroom. They have the right to fly on a plane without being harassed by you. But if this is the way the left wants to play, then the activists themselves have to be opened up to the same possibility. The awful writer at Jezebel, who wrote the piece, absolutely bullied Kyrsten Sinema outside of her bathroom stall, is somebody named Ashley Reese. She looks like a recent college graduate. She's a woman of color. And I bet you, if you showed up, she lives in Brooklyn, because, of course, all horrible things congregate in Brooklyn. If you showed up at Ashley Reese's apartment building, you would be, the police would be called. I bet you Ashley Reese would love to see the police defunded, but that's beside the point. They don't care about such things when it suits their needs. But if you showed up, you would likely be called a racist. If you saw her at whatever coffee shop she overpays for her ridiculous coffee in the neighborhood, she overpays ridiculous rent, she would throw an absolute fit. She would probably live stream it on Facebook going, this person's totally stalking me. Because that's what they do. That's what the left does. They can't live. They won't live by the rules they seek to force on others. They won't live by the standards they create. But these are their rules. They should absolutely be forced to live by them. I'm not a big fan of mutually assured destruction when it comes to, you know, public confrontation. But if that's what it's going to take, it sure as hell isn't going to be human decency, because these people have none. So if that's what it's going to take, then so be it. Find them and question them. Be rude. Just be insistent. Demand answers. Even the president of the United States doesn't seem bothered by what happened to Kyrsten Sinema. So, Kyrsten Sinema can't go to the bathroom. She can't fly to work. She can't go. And I'm sure wherever she lives in Washington, D.C., will soon be inundated by the left-wing mutant mob demanding, you do this, that, or the other thing because we put you here and we want you to do this. Yeah, you know what? That's not how our government's supposed to work. It is how a lot of our government works. And I guarantee you, because as you sit there and you go and you look at these two Democrats that are making everybody on the left so mad, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, I guarantee you there are probably 5 to 10 other Democrats in the United States Senate and probably a couple of dozen in the House of Representatives who are ecstatic that these two exist, that these two are blocking progress, as they say. Because that means that Democrats recognize that what they're pushing here is insane. All right? It's blowing it's like you're sitting on the Titanic and there's a hole on one side of the boat. Like, oh my God, water's getting in. What are we going to do? And the plan that the Democrats have come up with is, well, I got an idea. How about we blow a hole in the other side of the boat and the water will pass right through? It'll be just wonderful. And it'll be problem solved. We couldn't ask for anything more. Now, a normal person would go, that wouldn't work. That would just make things worse. That's let more water in. What are you doing? What are you even thinking this for? What education did you have? What's the matter with you? But Democrats aren't normal people. And so their plan really is to, well, we need more debt. We need to do more spending. The problem is the spending we've done so far has really caused inflation. So what we really need is more spending, I think, and that will even it out. So there are some Democrats who, because of their district, because of the configuration of their district, they have to kind of go along with this or else there'd be hell to pay. They don't want it. They recognize it's bad. You'd have to be incredibly stupid to not recognize this is bad, which is why I think it's a universal truth that Democrats really do want to do harm to the United States of America. They don't give a damn. That's what their objective is. Because you can't be that stupid. There's no way a functioning human being can be that stupid and think this is really what's best for the country. This is in the best interest of the country. No way. So they look at Sinema and Manchin and go, oh, thank God. Thank God. Because in their heart of hearts, they're like, I don't really want to vote for this. I have to vote for it because I care more about, you know, my career than my responsibility, than my oath of office, than anything I truly believe. Being a member of Congress is a pretty sweet gig. Pays well. You get a pension pretty quickly. You get all sorts of perks. Plus, there's a golden parachute waiting for you right by the door anytime you leave. So a lot of people want that and will do anything to keep it. Even if the little voice in the back of their head is going, this is terrible. Don't support this. But we have to. We have to. So they look at Sinema and Manchin holding something going, oh, thank God somebody's doing this. Thank God somebody has the lower intestinal fortitude to sit there and go, no. No, this is too much. This is insane. I can't support this. They won't say it publicly. And Joe Biden doesn't give a damn either way. Joe Biden, if Kyrsten Sinema, and it's coming. It's coming. You watch. It might not be now. It might not be right now, but it will be soon. There was a Democrat tweeting out a picture of her in a dress. Some author guy I'd never heard of before, but he's apparently a best-selling novelist. And he was talking about how Kyrsten Sinema is the impediment to progress. And there's a big picture of her. And you're just sitting there going, and this guy had like 400,000 followers or something like that. And you're thinking, James Hodgkinson exists. James Hodgkinson was not that long ago. It may seem like 2017 was a lifetime ago, but it really wasn't. It was 4 years ago. So when you sit out there and say, this is the person that's causing all the problems, this is why your life sucks, or Jezebel going, yes, please bully her. Do it, bully her. What you're really doing is putting a bullseye on these people. Now, most people, thankfully, are not mentally unstable and will not go, I must kill. I must kill. That's the only thing to do. Must do this. Now, the guy did delete the tweet. His name is Don Winslow. I don't know what he's written, but that was who he was. He's basically tweeted out saying, somebody needs to do something about this senator. He deleted. I don't know if Twitter made him delete it or not. I imagine liability of a successful novelist. The agent, the lawyer, would call up and say, hey, dude, what are you doing? How about you try to remain hinged to some degree or another? But sooner or later, one of these people is going to snap. Because people snap all the time. They're trying to direct it towards Kyrsten Sinema. They're trying to direct it towards Joe Manchin. If a Republican said this, if a Republican said something along the lines of, look, the United States Senate is 50-50. Joe Manchin is from West Virginia, the reddest state there is, but he's a Democrat. The governor of West Virginia is a Republican. If something bad were to befall Joe Manchin, there's a pretty good chance that, A, first of all, the governor could take his sweet time in appointing a replacement, which would mean that the Republicans would have a 50-49 seat majority in the Senate. I don't know what the nuances of West Virginia law are. Some states require that a replacement for a senator be of the same party. Other states do not. But even if it is, the governor can slow walk it and block all legislation. And you're laying this groundwork. Horrible. It would be awful if something bad happened to Joe Manchin, but it would save the republic. You could go on. You could say that. You could word it, and I'm just doing this off the top of my head. You could word it very carefully and do it in a way where you have absolute plausible deniability. And some 9,999,000 would hear, you know, you just thinking out loud and saying Democrats should be careful because they could easily be, especially in the age of COVID, they could easily be in the minority again. But that one person out there go, oh, wait a second, I have to save the republic. If I kill Joe Manchin, I will stop the Democrats' agenda dead in its tracks. Or if I even wound him, if Joe Manchin has to spend a significant amount of time in the hospital in West Virginia, he won't be there to vote. I can save the republic. It's stupid. It's evil. That was what James Hodgkinson was told. Or that's what he heard when he watched Rachel Maddow night after night lying about Republicans, saying Republican health care plan will kill 10,000 Americans. Every year. That's why James Hodgkinson decided to try to kill as many Republicans as possible, because he was told by the people he admired, Bernie Sanders, Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, that the Republican plan was going to kill 10,000 people unnecessarily every year. Now, if you believe that garbage, then you almost have a moral obligation to act. Just like if you believe that Donald Trump was Hitler. Don't you have a moral obligation to act? You can't have Hitler, the new Hitler, as president of the United States. My God, you can't do that. If society won't act, if the voters won't, somebody must do something to stop the new Hitler. Now, it's irrational. It's insane to normal people. But in a nation of 330 million people, there are some people who are irrational and insane. One of them, sadly, I don't know if he's irrational, insane, or just senile, Joe Biden, president of the United States. He was asked about the harassing of Joe Manchin, where they went up to his house. He lives on a houseboat in Washington, D.C. They went up to his houseboat and were outside of his houseboat yelling and chanting. And who knows if he hadn't been there or if he'd been asleep or if he didn't come to the bow of the boat or the stern of the boat and talked to them. Maybe they would have tried to board the boat. Who knows? And he was asked about Kyrsten Sinema being confronted in the bathroom, in a public restroom. And his answer was, he doesn't really care. Just how things are. Well, if you're the president of the United States and you have the opportunity to turn down the heat, one of the biggest criticisms of Donald Trump was what? That he never turned down the rhetoric, even when it was needed to make things better, to calm people down. What's Joe Biden doing in this clip?
Mr. President, you're talking about how you have 48 Democratic votes right now. The other two have been pressured over the weekend by activists. Joe Manchin had people on kayaks show up to his boat to yell at him. Senator Sinema last night was chased into a restroom. Do you think that those tactics are crossing a line?
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody. From the the only people it doesn't happen to are people who have Secret Service standing around them. So it's part of the process. Yes, sir.
That was it. He just moved on after that. Look at him. It's not appropriate. But, hey, what are you going to do? Oh, you know, hey, Senator, what do you make of James Hodgkinson, progressive Democrat, trying to murder as many Republicans as possible on the baseball field over there? Well, it's not something I would do. It's not something I would support. But it is. It's just a part of the process. And you're going to, when you're talking about passionate issues, you're going to get people very passionate about things. Every time Joe Biden has a chance to lead, every time Joe Biden has a chance to stand up, this uniter, he's a uniter, right? Every time Joe Biden has a chance to do what a decent, normal human being would do, Joe Biden goes, I mean, come on. So what? She was in the bathroom. She was able to pee, or it sounded like she washed her hands. I assume she peed. I don't know. It's not my problem, man. If she would just acquiesce to what I want, people wouldn't be harassing her in the bathroom. People wouldn't be harassing her on a plane. Do you think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. If this works, if this tactic works, you're going to see more of it and it's going to be turned up. There are moments when you have a chance to ratchet it down, to take turn down the heat, to remove the pan from the heat or whatever. And Joe Biden is choosing actively not to do that. Actively not to do that. I have no one but himself to blame if something horrible happens to these people, to one of these people, to any of these people. Or these people would be completely justified in doing something dramatic to protect themselves. And who's going to get the blame for that? Well, all of them, really. It really is amazing. Watch. I want to play this NBC Nightly News clip just to show you how it was portrayed. The confrontation, the following of Kyrsten Sinema into the bathroom was ignored by the Today Show. It just didn't report on it. But the NBC Nightly News did talk about it. They gave it 34 whole seconds, I think it was. 34 whole seconds. And they framed it again, and they used the Joe Biden clip, which gives them cover, gives these people cover, and emboldens other people to go, well, if you can't get her in the bathroom, maybe we get her in her bathroom in her house. Maybe we need to go a little bit further. The president doesn't have a problem with how far we've gone so far, so let's see if we can go further. This is how NBC Nightly News, the only way NBC Nightly News bothered to report on this at all.
One of those moderate senators still not on board, Arizona's Kyrsten Sinema, who was followed this weekend by progressive activists from a classroom where she teaches into a restroom where they continued to confront her and record her even as she went into a bathroom stall.
The Build Back Better plan needs the solutions that we need.
Sinema responded that those protesters violated school security and students' privacy, writing, "This is wholly inappropriate." Asked about protesters' conduct, the president said,
"I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody."
There you go. That was the entirety of the report. I don't think it's appropriate, but it happens to everybody. What are you going to do? Quit whining. Quit whining, you dumb broad. What do you think you're doing? This ain't Beanbag. Come on. Back in my day, Corn Pop would have met you out by the car and given you the business. See? You have a chance to de-escalate, and you don't take it, then you become responsive. This is all left-on-left violence. If you have a chance to de-escalate and you don't take it, then what comes next, if anything does, is on you. It's on you, Joe, and your army of flying monkeys. You may not have noticed this because it's not getting the type of coverage that it should. And God forbid if it were, you know, there's a Trump administration. and Attorney General Barr going, we're going to look at BLM Antifa and see what they're up to. All hell would break loose. People would be freaking out. It would be an outrage that anybody would dare say anything and try and imply that they might be engaged in some sort of criminal activity. But this is about conservatives and parents involving themselves in the worst thing, is what Hitler did, I'd imagine. I'd imagine if Hitler had had children, Hitler would have involved himself in their education. So anybody who's involving themselves in their children's education is the new Hitler. That's just science, man. Take it up with God. The UPI, Universal Press International, I believe, or United Press International. I haven't seen a UPI story in forever. But they have this story, and that tells you how far down the food chain that this has gone, where they like don't want to report on it because it's absurd, and it is further otherizing and polarizing the American population. Headline, A.G. Garland directs FBI to combat spiking violence directed at school officials. Spiking violence. Now, what is this spiking violence? If there was footage of school board officials, school officials in general, they're talking about school boards, people who are implementing critical race theory and demanding that children be taught that they're either the victim or the perp, and they're horrible and nothing can change it except for self-flagellation and a commitment to the Democratic Party. If there were footage of people being physically attacked, you would see it in an endless loop on CNN and MSNBC. They have gotten rid of, for the most part, their COVID boxes of number of cases, numbers of deaths after the election. But they would replace it with a box of, here is on an endless loop, one school board member having an egg thrown at him or something like that. And it would be treated as though it were perhaps one of the lowest points we as a species have ever had. But in reality, what it is and what they show, and it's ridiculous when they do this because CNN tries to make this into something. And you have to, I guess if you're a soft-skulled, weak-kneed CNN viewer, it would seem pretty scary. But what they do is they push the idea that people yelling at school board members is somehow an affront to liberty, a threat to these people. And violence. The headline, spiking violence, but there's no violence. Because remember, to the left, disagreeing with them is violence. Oh, they say words are violence, but only words that disagree with them. You know, Kyrsten Sinema going into a bathroom, trying to use the bathroom during a break in a course she's teaching, and people following her in there, yelling at her, chanting at her, standing outside the door, badgering her. That's not violence at all. That's, in fact, not even problematic. It's wonderful. It's something, it's civil engagement that people should do. Cornering somebody on a plane where there's nowhere to go, not violence at all. But standing up and telling your left-wing school board mutants, hey, I do not want this indoctrination garbage taught to my kids. How about you teach them to read and write? You're doing a horrible job at that. We can talk about other things you can do. If you want to bring in how there are 6 trillion different pronouns for people as they make up their genders on a daily basis, we can talk about bringing that into the school once these kids know how to read and write and do math. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not succeeding at the only reason you exist. So maybe multitasking at this particular moment is not the way to go for you. If you say that, the FBI is going to have a word with you. The story, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and again, thank God for Mitch McConnell blocking this spineless bowl of excrement from making it onto the Supreme Court. Attorney General Merrick Garland has directed the FBI to address the increase in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence directed towards school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff amid the coronavirus pandemic, the Justice Department said Monday. Now, isn't that weird? I'm going to read that again, but I'm going to read the headline to you first. See if you notice the disconnect betwixt the two. The headline, A.G. Garland directs FBI to combat spiking violence directed at school officials. The lead paragraph, Attorney General Merrick Garland has directed the FBI to address the increase in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence directed towards school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff amid the coronavirus pandemic, the Justice Department said Monday. Did you notice? Spiking violence in the headline, threats, intimidation of violence. No actual violence. They're counting on people not reading the story. That's why 90% of the people who see a headline don't read the story. You create a false impression in people's minds with a fake headline like that. It's not by accident. Most people read this story and they won't go, hey, wait a second, you overpromised and underdelivered. Your headline said spiking violence, yet there's no violence sitting in there. No. In a memo addressing the leading law enforcement officials, Garland ordered the FBI to work with U.S. attorneys to hold meetings with federal, state, and local tribal leaders within 30 days. Ooh, to tribal leaders. If there are tribal schools, they're on tribal lands. I would say that they're 99.99% tribal members, and the federal government has very little role in governing what goes on in Indian tribes. But because the left loves to make everything about race, you got to drag in as many people as you possibly can. Quote, threats against public servants are not only illegal, they run counter to our nation's core values. Yeah, says the party of James Hodgkinson. Those who dedicate their time and energy to ensuring that our children receive a proper education in a safe environment deserve to be able to do their work without fear for their safety. And parents deserve to know that the people who are charged with doing their work will actually do their work, not advance a liberal agenda, try to indoctrinate their children into believing they're either racists or victims of racism. The Justice Department added in a statement that it will also be creating specialized training and guidance for school boards and administrators to aid them to understand what constitutes a threat, how to report threatening conduct, and how to capture and preserve evidence for the investigation and potential prosecution. The Attorney General and the Justice Department of the United States are putting parents who have been vocal about their objections to critical race theory, they're putting them on notice. They're putting them on notice. Don't you dare step. Don't you dare criticize this. We will come after you. You might not like what the school board is doing, but we don't care. They must do it. Their world is so damned important. This work is so damned important that if you object to your kid, if they're white, being told that they're a racist and the root of all evil, tough. And if you object to your kid, if they're black, being told that they'll never get ahead, they might as well not try. Forget it. They're oppressed whether they know it or not, whether they feel it or not. It is sickening. Not surprising, but sickening. That this is what the left has become. Now, these are, of course, the very same people that do what? They sit around and they tell you, we will not politicize the Department of Justice. Donald Trump politicized the Department of Justice. We will not politicize the Department of Justice. Well, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You are protecting a left-wing agenda item, which is kind of funny because what? Was it a month ago? We were told, they insisted, critical race theory. Oh, these people talking about critical race theory being deployed in school. It is not. Critical race theory is only ever being talked about or used in law school. That's it. And now what are they doing? They're all out there actively defending the deployment of critical race theory in elementary schools, in middle schools, in high schools. And like, wait a second. Just a month ago, you were telling me that it was a paranoid fever dream to even suggest that this was going on in schools. And now you're saying it's no big deal that it was in schools. See the disconnect there? See the lies? It's what they live. Lies are liberals' oxygen. And while it often seems as though their brains are oxygen deprived, They're not. They probably flooded in too much oxygen, and that brings about its own problems. Lastly today, I want to play you something that I find funny as a policy-ish nerd. It's Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal. She is the, I don't know if she's still the chair of the Progressive Caucus or she was the chair. She's a regular on MSNBC and CNN. She was appearing on a podcast for the Obama bros, the Pod Save America guys. And they don't seem to know what the hell is going on either. They ask about the Hyde Amendment. And listen to Jayapal. She has no idea what the Hyde Amendment is. It is not the law of the land. It is a rider that is attached to budgetary items that prevent federal money from being spent on abortion. That's what it is. It's not law. It has to be included in every budgetary piece of legislation, every budgetary bill, to ensure that federal money is not spent on abortions. That's part of it. Democrats and Republicans all agreed on this. Even if you were the most pro-abortion Democrat, you thought people shouldn't be forced to pay for something like this. Of course, now that's changed. Democrats want you to pay, demand that you pay. But Jayapal thinks it's a law. And she thinks it's a law that somehow has to be included in every piece of legislation, and she wants it repealed, which is not how it works at all.
Joe Manchin seems to have drawn a few red lines in negotiations. One of them is around the Hyde Amendment, which restricts abortion coverage. He said that the bill would be dead on arrival if it doesn't include the Hyde Amendment. You said on Sunday you wouldn't vote for a bill that does include the Hyde Amendment. Wouldn't that sink the bill, or is there some potential compromise I'm missing here that could satisfy both parties?
Well, look, I've been clear that I want to repeal the Hyde Amendment. That is also what the president's position is. But what I was actually saying, and, you know, I think sometimes these things get just, it's difficult on TV in a short thing. But what I was actually saying is that the Hyde Amendment is the law, unfortunately, for people like me that believe it shouldn't be. I would like to repeal it, but I'm not suggesting that we put the repeal into this bill.
There is no law. There is no law to repeal. What would you put in there? The Hyde Amendment is a rider put in every budgetary bill upon, you know, based on agreements of the past that have continued through till now, that it be put in there. If you're so vehemently opposed to the existence of something, shouldn't you know what the hell it is? Shouldn't you? Apparently not. You can become a powerful progressive congresswoman and not have any damn clue what in the hell you're talking about. God bless America, I guess. Only in the United States could you be that ignorant and that successful simultaneously. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening, spreading the word, telling a friend, doing all that good stuff. We'll be back here tomorrow with another exciting episode. Have yourself a great day.